First Peter chapter 3. Let's look in verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of the wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God. See, now the Apostle Peter, he talked about the old time. You know, we talk about the old time, how things used to be. And people living now, they don't want to hear about the old time. Peter talked about the old time. He said, for after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life, now I want you to pay attention to this. I'm going to preach on this, but I thought this was two good verses. Not that they all ain't, but this is good. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good, and let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of the terror, of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for just a wonderful time that you've given us already to be in your house. For the good choir singing, I pray that it has honored you. We've just had a time in the choir tonight. And Lord, just some good old songs that's been sung. And I thank you for them tonight. But it's preaching time. And Lord, we need you. And just need you to come by for just a little while. I'm just looking to heaven for some help tonight. And I pray you'd anoint us afresh and help us. Lord, we ask tonight for somebody that might be lost, if they're sitting in this building tonight, that they might get saved. Lord, if somebody needs some direction, needs some help, I pray it be found in you tonight. We sure do love you. Would you guard our mind and our thoughts tonight? Hinder Satan from this service. And we'll say thank you again for Calvary. And thank you for loving us. Save that since news tale. For all this in Jesus' name we do ask and do pray. Amen. Amen. You be seated tonight. I read all that to focus on one verse tonight. But when you read these verses, in verses 1 through 7, the Apostle Peter deals and that with the relationship of a husband and a wife, and how that lost husband can be won by the conversation of his saved wife. Now, when conversation in our day and time today, most of y'all know this, the word conversation is what we're saying, our speech, but in your King James Bible, conversation is referring to your deportment, how you're living in front of other people. That's what he's talking about. And so right here he said that husband could be won by that wife. And he lays all that out in verses 1 through 7. In verses 8 and 9 it tells us how to dwell with each other. To have compassion on one another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful and be courteous. Well, we struggle with that today, it seems. It says not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise a blessing. And so that's how he tells us to deal with one another. Well, that's a little hard to do sometimes, ain't it? When folk are against us or we feel that they're against us, he said we should not be that way. We should not render evil for evil or railing for railing. It always seemed to me, as a Christian, that you have to stoop low to be vengeful. Amen. Ain't that right? Man, I was preaching hard this morning. Y'all amen me. Tonight, I ain't got nothing. Amen. I mean, but you got to stoop real low to be vengeful, especially on your brethren. There's something wrong with that situation tonight. In verses 10 and 11, he tells us here how to dwell with ourselves. He says, if we're going to love life and see good days, then refrain our tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. And you can see, he said, let him eschew evil. That means to run from and do good and seek peace and ensue. In other words, go find it. If you want to know how to dwell good in this life, that's what we're supposed to do. Verse 12, we see the Lord's eyes are everywhere. In verses 13 and 14, we can see the suffering that some may have to go through or that all go through and that for the cause of Christ. And we come on down and see in the latter part beyond verse 15 that it says right here that if it is the will of God, that it's better for us to suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. But I want to deal with verse 15 tonight in the very fact of what it said here when he talked about be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I want to deal tonight with that thought in the very fact of what do you tell when somebody asks you about salvation? What's your story tonight? What is your story? Now, you look at the book of Acts chapter 9, and you find that the Apostle Paul got saved. In Acts chapter 22, you'll find as the Apostle Paul was before the Jews over there, he told them the story of his life on the road to Damascus. You'll find in Acts chapter 26, Paul is before Agrippa and he tells the same story again about being on the road to Damascus and what the Lord done to him and for him. And every one of us has got a testimony tonight. Every one of us has got a story that we can tell about how that we got saved. And that's a good thing. It's good to have a testimony of salvation. But you know, tonight, the greatest story that we could ever tell is the story of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen tonight, I mean the Apostle Paul, I said in 1 Corinthians 2, for I determine not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Can I tell you tonight, when we tell somebody about getting saved, it has to start with a story of crucifixion. It has to start with the Lord Jesus Christ going to Calvary for mine and your sins tonight. Listen, Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Hey, I'm glad tonight that in the gospel story, the death, the burial, and resurrection of the blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, there's power in that thing to save people. Amen. I'm glad tonight that if we'll tell the story, he said right here, he said, be ready. What did he say in verse 15? He said, be ready always to give an answer to every man. Listen, Paul said, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Paul said, I don't preach me. I don't preach nobody else, but I preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. And that's what'll make the difference in men, women, boys, and girls' lives tonight is that he died at Calvary for our sins. Amen. Hey, I'm glad of that tonight. The story ought to be that he came and that he suffered. I think we miss Jesus Christ sometimes in the story if we ain't careful. I mean, I don't listen. I just want to, you say, preacher, they don't want to hear the story of the gospel. I know they don't want to hear. I got that tonight. But I'm going to tell you, that's all we've got to give the world this evening. That's the only thing. If we're trying to give them something else, we just might as well shut the book, go home and live the life best we can and wait for Jesus to come. Hey, all I've got to give them is a gospel story tonight. Amen. That Jesus said, you know what I want these Sunday school teachers to teach down there in them classes to these kids? I want them to teach about Jesus. Amen. I want them to hear the gospel story about how that Jesus came and that he suffered and that he shed his blood. Boy, thank God for the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. For by that shed blood I was redeemed. I'm telling you, when I got saved, I didn't know none of that stuff. I didn't understand none of it. But praise be unto God, I knowed enough that I was lost. I wanted to get saved and got saved and then learned about that. Hey, I can still remember. I can still remember the first time, and I know that I'd been taught it. But I remember the first time, really, that I ever seen him as that substitutionary lamb. I got to listen to a preacher preach, and bless his heart, man, he was doing some more preaching. I just heard him. Somebody brought me a tape, and I only remember who it was. I still got that tape somewhere. But he was preaching out of 1 Peter chapter 1 over there, and talking about what was it that it said, for as much as you know, you're not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Boy, I remember him preaching on that and going back to Exodus 12 and drawing the parallel on the Passover lamb, and he just began to preach about what Jesus had done for us. And I remember, boy, that burned into my heart. Say, some of that stuff you remember. The story, because we as sinners, he come to pay our sins. That this man Jesus went to Calvary. Greater love hath no man than this, than that he'd lay down his life for his friends. I'm glad he laid down his life for me. I am here in his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. What do we tell a lost and dying world today? Boy, Jesus loved them enough to go to Calvary. And tell them what he done. How at Calvary he died. Preacher, people ain't going to believe that. Hey, listen, it ain't up to us to make them believe that story. It ain't up to us to tell them a story that they can believe. It's up to us to tell them the truth of the story tonight. I read that story sometimes in the Bible, and I look at that and I think, boy, I'm glad I'm believing this thing by faith. That's all I got to tell you, because this thing's really unbelievable. Amen. By man's eyes and by logic and all that, you're going to tell me that there was a man came who lived perfect, who done miracles and never sinned, never thought wrong, never acted wrong, never talked wrong, never done any of those things, and still died at Calvary, and the God of heaven imputed my sin to him, and then he died for me. That's hard to believe tonight, but I do. Say, preacher, you sure we're supposed to? I know that's what we're to tell. That's the only hope I've got tonight, is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a story of crucifixion, but it's a story of a resurrection. Because see, you know, Calvary, for I determined not to know anything among you except Christ and him crucified. But you know what? Our salvation wouldn't be complete without an empty tomb. I mean, Jesus Christ would have been no more different than them prophets of the Old Testament had he not got up. I'll just be honest with you tonight. It wouldn't have been no different. But because of what Jesus done, he went to Calvary and died. And you know what he did? You know, the Bible said in the latter part of this chapter that I read you, said that he went and preached to the spirits in prison. And we can talk about all that, but I do know that he descended into the lower parts of the earth, and he took captivity captive. What do you mean? I believe that he took paradise, which was in the heart of the earth. Who is he that ascended but first descended? He got captivity captive, and when he got up, he moved them from paradise to heaven. You know, when he got up in one place in the scripture, and only one spot, It talks about, is it in the book of Matthew? Let me see if I can find this real quick. Let me see if I can find this. When he talks about over there during the crucifixion, that when he got up, those graves burst open when he come back. I'm going to have to find it. I may not be far enough here yet. Let's see here. Oh, I ain't got there yet. Let's see. Is it in Matthew? Yep, Matthew chapter 27. I just wasn't on the right page here. And Jesus is dying. Jesus is dying at Calvary. Verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again, I'm in Matthew 27, verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now, when that earthquake happened, them graves opened up. But it said right here, and they came out of the graves after his resurrection. That had to be something to see. I mean, Mama and Papa was coming back into town to talk to you there for a minute or two. Preacher, I really believe that happened. Now, whether you believe that happened or not, that ain't going to keep you out of heaven. But I do think that you're disagreeing with the Bible if you don't believe that tonight. Amen. I just believe what it says. You say, why did that happen? I think he picked some of them up. And this is just me. You can throw all this out. I'm just getting on mark now. This is Latham Theology 101, okay? I think when he brought captivity captive, I think that some of them picked their body up on the way out. I do. They stuff happened in the spiritual realm at that time that me and you ain't got a clue what was going on. We don't know. I mean, our finite mind can't even get that thing. I think they just picked some of them up and got their bodies on the way. And I don't know. I really don't know why the Lord allowed that to happen other than to prove that it is the way it was. But I do know this. He got up. You go to Luke chapter 24, and if you remember what those angels asked those women over there, or told of those women, said, why seek you the living among the dead? For he is not here, for he is risen. Listen, the Bible said in Romans chapter 4, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. He went to Calvary because of our sin, but he got up to justify us in the sight of God the Father. Amen. What's your story tonight? It's a story of a crucifixion and a resurrection. But it's a story of conviction. If you're lost, that story ought to bring conviction to you. When you were lost, that story brought conviction to you. See, the thing about it is, some of us may have got saved at church, some at Vacation Bible School, some at home, some in Tent Revival, some outside, some inside, some at work. But nonetheless, our story is basically all the same. We had to hear the gospel one day, and then we had to get under conviction.
That's right.
Somewhere along the line, we got under conviction. And I remember that night, just like it was yesterday, when I told you about it this morning, when the Lord spoke to my heart as a 14-year-old boy, and listened, and he showed me that I was lost. I remember coming to that place and admitting to God that I was lost. Acts chapter 9, and Saul yet breathing out against the disciples of the Lord went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Can I stop right here and make a statement that most of y'all know? He said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who is he persecuting? The church. Jesus, whom thou persecutest, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And we know that the apostle, Saul of Tarsus, who became the apostle Paul, got saved. We understand that. You can read the rest of it over there. What was it in 1 Timothy chapter 1? This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. Hey, I'm glad tonight that by the conviction God showed himself to the apostle Paul, or to Saul of Tarsus, there comes a day when God does that. It may not be like Paul. It may not be like Saul's time. God may not turn a light on physically, but he turns a light on spiritually. And he shows you that. Boy, if anybody's ever going to get saved, they're going to have to get under conviction. Right. Now, they may not get under such heavy conviction that, I mean, they fall out on the floor. I mean, I've heard them old timers talk about that. Boy, that man, the power of God would get so real in meetings that folk would literally just get under conviction. They'd run and just fall on the altar and beg God to save them. I'm glad that can still happen today. Amen. I'm glad folks still gets under conviction and gets saved. But you know also what I'm glad of too? I'm glad God's heavy hand still works on folks. But boy, that tender hand still works on folks. And just tells them that they need to get saved. Just helps them get saved. I mean, he said in Revelation 3:20, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice, he said, and open the door. He said, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. Boy, I'm glad God will do that. I'm glad he'll do that. I'm glad he'll turn the light on of judgment. That judgment is coming one day, and you need to get saved. What was it the Apostle Paul said, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ? He said, warning every man, talking about Jesus coming. It's a story of conviction. It's all right to tell people. It's all right to tell people, boy, if God is knocking on your heart, if God's drawn on your heart, if something going on in your heart, boy, let God do something for you. You know, what was it that we sing in Amazing Grace? A grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. Boy, I'm glad it is that grace of the Lord Jesus tonight. I always think about when I think about a man getting under conviction, a woman getting under conviction, I think about that Philippian jailer over there. And then he called for a light and sprang in, came trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thine house. I don't know how long that boy had been under conviction. I really don't. Bible don't tell us. But we do know this, he was asleep. I don't know when God began to bother him. I don't know when God showed him that he was lost. But I do know that when he drew that sword out, he was fixing to fall on that thing and die and go to hell. But God in his infinite mercy and his wisdom had the Apostle Paul call out and say, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And then that Philippian jailer came running in there and said, What do we need to do? Boy, you need to be able to give a reason that it is a story of conviction. I believe that old boy got under conviction. I do. I believe he got under conviction. We sing that song sometimes, Come Unto Me. And it talks about do unholy feelings struggle in your breast. Bring your case to Jesus and he'll give you rest. He said, Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Boy, I'm telling you, when you was lost, you didn't have rest. Well, tell people we've got something that'll give them rest, give them peace, give them joy, better than a pill, better than a bottle, better than anything. This world's God. I've got what they need. Amen. That's the Lord Jesus. It's a story. It's a story of conviction. It's a story about supplication. What do you mean a story of supplication? You got to pray. You got to pray. tell people to get saved. You got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You got to pray. I remember the night that I got saved, I didn't know how to pray. Didn't know how. We think we know a lot of things till we really get faced with reality. And I got faced with reality that night, and I really didn't know how to pray and didn't know what to say. Except all I knew to do was ask him to save me. That's it. That's all I knew to do. And I believe right now he done it. I believe he done it. I do. I mean, but you have to pray. You have to ask him. I mean, not only do we believe that he died for us at Calvary and rose again, but then you got to ask him from your heart. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not a magical prayer. It's not anything that one person has come up with. You just kneel down in your heart and ask God to save you, and he'll do that. I want to tell you something. It's more than raising your hand. And I know, folks, I know this. I know that if somebody wants to get saved, I know if you're in a crowd of people, and I know that over the years that's happened. I know that. And they'll say, if you want to get saved, raise your hand so we can see and then pray this prayer. And I'm going to be honest with you. If there's somebody out there who wants to get saved, and they believe that Jesus died for them and he rose again for them, and they asked him to save them, it'll work. It'll work every time. But it's more than just raising your hand. And it's more than just getting baptized. It's believing and trusting in him and asking him to save you. I tell people when they come to get saved, you just pray the best that you can. And God will take care of the rest of it. Boy, I'm glad he knows. I mean, from 8 to 80, I'm glad he knows. He knows how. He knows how to listen, and he knows what's in somebody's heart. But it's a story of not only supplication, but one of conversion. You cannot get saved and there not be a change. It will not work. You ever seen somebody profess that they got saved, but there never was a change? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Now, it took me a while to grasp some of this stuff. There was something happened to me the night that I got saved. There was a change made. I remember I was a freshman in high school, and I was running with some wrong people. And I remember it didn't take me but about that first week to get rid of them people. I remember that. And I mean, it just going to end up in trouble. But, preacher, have you not messed up? I've messed up plenty since then. Said things and done things that I wished I hadn't have done. And like I told you this morning, they still haunt me today. You said, don't you know they're forgiven? I know they're forgiven. I know they're taken care of. I understand that. But, boy, I just wish that I'd have done better. Wished I'd have been a better testimony. I wish that I'd have been just a better Christian. I just wish that I'd have done better. You know, he said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You know, when you get saved, there should be some growth begin to take place. The Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9, after Ananias comes over there and lays his hands on him, and them scales fall off his eyes, and within the hour he saw. And just a few verses later, the Bible said in Acts chapter 9, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son of God. It didn't take the Apostle Paul long to start preaching. He was preaching. I mean preaching. We start growing on day one, but sometimes that growth gets hindered because we quit taking the milk of the word and don't get into the meat of the word and do what it says. It's a story of a conversion. Something changes on the inside. I'm not the same person that I used to be. I mean, I'm not. Now, I know that saved people can get wrong. I get that. I understand that. I believe, according to the book of Peter, you can almost get so far away from God that you don't even know that you're saved or not. I believe that. I believe saved folk can get so far. But here I also believe this, that the Lord can get your attention. Amen. When we start growing, he said that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. I'll say it again for you all that have never heard me say this, and I know some of you have. He said that you put off concerning the former conversation and that you put on the new man. I used to struggle with those verses. And a lot of y'all know, you've heard me talk about this. I used to struggle with those verses because I knew what 2 Corinthians 5 said when it talked about us being a new creature. And God changes the inside. Did you know that it's up to us to change the outside? We put off the old man. Oh, God will help us. He'll strengthen us. He'll give us the ability to do it. But we've got to choose to do it. You know how I quit smoking cigarettes? I got under conviction about them. That helps. That helps matters when you get under conviction about something. It really does help. But you know how I did? I determined that's something the Lord didn't want me to do. And if I was going to please Him and do what He wanted me to do, I was going to have to quit them things. I had to put off the old man. I'm just telling you some things. I'm glad we can live right for the Lord. I'm glad we can live right. It's not about us. Listen, if you're talking to somebody that was just like you when you were lost, that's fine to tell them what Jesus done for you, where He found you at, and what He done for you. There's nothing wrong with that. There's not a thing wrong with that. If you were a drug addict, or if you were an alcoholic, a drunkard, let me put it to you like, if you were a drunkard and you're dealing with a drunkard, you look, He saved me. I was just like you, and He saved me. But let me tell you how He saved me. I mean, I believe it'd be okay to tell that. But what's your story tonight? What are we telling people? Man, I'm telling you, if we want to get our friends, our lost folks saved, man, we're going to have to tell them the story of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads tonight.